Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You can't see God because these weeds are in the way. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 5 when Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father takes care of the birds. You'll see them worrying."
Are your worries and cares keeping God's promises from taking root deep in your heart? Jesus promised He would take care of us. He would provide everything we need. So don't let the cares of this world, financial or otherwise, distract you from keeping your eyes on the kingdom of God. With part two of our teaching in Luke 8 in our series, High Res, Seeing Jesus More Clearly, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Oftentimes professors, they'll say things like, well, in the Hebrew mythology, this is one of their favorite terms, Hebrew mythology, as if saying the Hebrew Bible is just like the Greek mythology, but it's not. It's real people that existed, and it's been proven by archaeology over and over and over again. They used to claim David didn't exist, but now there's no one. If any scholar today would claim that David didn't exist, he would be immediately revealed as a quack. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know his field. We know for sure that David existed. We know that the places the Bible talk about are real, genuine places. The Bible is accurate historically. It's accurate geographically. It's accurate archaeologically. It's accurate prophetically. It tells the future. The Bible tells the future, and you can quantify that. If it's accurate in all those things, then it's accurate spiritually. And I would love to just go on this topic. But just enough to say, the seed is the Word of God that gets planted in our hearts. It came from God. It was supernaturally given to us, and it is powerful. Then he gets into the four different kinds of soils. Verse 12, the seed's the Word of God, and then those by the wayside are those who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Notice the power of the seed. If it's planted in the heart and it's receptive, they believe and they are saved. God will give you eternal life. God will give you immortality. That's powerful. You will become immortal. Not an immortal comic book character, an immortal person who lives forever. The wayside, every farm, even in their days, had paths that went by it. We have roads that tractors have to go down in the Midwest, and the ground gets hard. It's not broken up because it gives access to the field. And when a farmer plants the seeds, he wants the seeds to go everywhere it can in the good soil, and so some of those seeds get spilled onto the pathway. The farmer doesn't care about those seeds. He doesn't try to cultivate. If by chance it falls into a crack in the road where there's moisture and grows, the farmer doesn't try to cultivate that. He doesn't care about it because it's fallow ground. It's hard. The person with a fallow heart that the Word of God falls upon is the person that's here that doesn't really believe God's Word. And you're not really interested in what's being said. You're just biding your time until we're done. And then you can move on. And hopefully this won't seem like it takes forever to you. You're just moving on. Your heart, and listen to this because this is key, your heart is not receptive to the seeds of God's Word. That's what good ground does. It receives the seed and it grows and its roots penetrate there. If it's on the road, it's not receptive at all. It's there to be taken away. And so if you're here today and you say, well, I don't know if I really even believe this, I don't know if I want to believe it. I just want to go home and watch football. I just, you know, want to go have a pizza afterwards. I don't know if I should start talking about food at this service anyway. You guys are probably getting hungry a little bit. So if you can today honestly identify your heart, and I hope you will be honest because the only one you're deceiving is yourself. If your heart's fallow, if your heart's hard and not receptive, how do you break it up? You break it up by, even right now, while I'm speaking, quietly saying to God, Lord, forgive me for not being receptive to your word. Forgive me for not believing it. Forgive me for not having faith enough to trust in your word, and help me to break up that heart. If you tell me your word, I'll listen to it. You know what that does? When you say, Lord, if you tell me your word, I'll listen to it and I'll do it. You're sticking a plow in that ground and you're plowing it up. And the more you come to church with that heart and that attitude, the more your heart is being plowed up. The more receptive your heart is becoming. You are not receptive if you say, I'm just biding my time here. I don't believe any of this stuff anyway. I don't think my life is ever going to change. I think this is all nonsense. I think this is all just, I don't believe it. Then your heart is hard and it is fallow and you don't understand because you're not willing to give it a chance. If you have a hard heart, it's not like you're saying, well, I'm really going to listen to this. I want to understand what Christians believe, so I'm really going to listen to this even though I don't believe it. Your heart's just hard. You don't understand, and so the seed is taken away. Now, that's some of you here, hopefully not many, but that's some of you. If you could be honest with yourself and go to faith to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'm ready. You could even begin to break up that ground right now so that some of the seeds of the Word of God could fall in your heart. The second kind of a soil is the rocky soil. It says in verse 13, but the one on the rock are those who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. In one of the other accounts it says, in a time when the sun comes out and begins to beat on it, because it has no roots, it fades away. In other words, these plants that fall on the rocks don't have a chance. Because when rocks are piled up or they're laid into a field, dust blows in and dirt develops in between the rocks and on top of the rocks. And because the moisture might sink down into the good ground, the moisture stays on the surface because it can't go deeper down than the rock. And so when a seed falls on there, it might even respond quicker than in a field. But then it has no depth of roots. And so when the sun comes out, or when the wind begins to blow, or whatever difficult situation arises for that crop that's on the rocks, it can't survive. Not just that it doesn't choose to survive, it can't survive during hardship. So what Jesus is saying to us is, in this world you will have tribulation. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish I could say to you today, I wish I could be a self-help Jesus preacher. Motivational speaker, that's all I am. Hey, listen, you give your life to Jesus, your life is going to be good. You give your life to Jesus, nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. Don't you understand that when you bring Jesus into your life, Mary and Joseph, when they had Jesus, first thing that happens, three wise men show up and give them gold. If you bring Jesus into your life, you're just going to get a bunch of gold. You're going to have good things that are going to happen to you. I really don't want to be that kind of preacher because it's lies, but that'd be great if that was the message. But when you believe that, and then something bad happens to you, you say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. I signed up for gold. I signed up for life that's easy. I didn't sign up for difficulties and hardships. And yet Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted. One of the other places where this is given, he says, and when persecution arises, they wither away because there's no depth of root. Persecution, tribulation, temptation, hardships, difficulties, reveal stony ground. I met the Lord when I was 14 years old, and I walked with him until I was 18. That's 4 years. And when I was 18, the pastor of the church that I was in had an affair with the secretary. And it devastated me. I've seen firsthand, because I was a member of a church where there was a scandal with the pastor. And I've seen firsthand what happens to people's faith when the pastor, the leader, has a scandal. And I called a friend of mine who had been a mentor. He'd been used by God in a great way in my life. He was very involved in my salvation. And now he is involved in the Calvary Chapel, and God's using him in great ways. But when I called him, his wife answered, and she said, I was a teenager, 18. She said, haven't you heard? He had an affair. He left me. That combination, that 1-2 punch for me, caused me to walk away from God for a year. I said, if this is what Christianity is, I'm done. Now, when I came back at 19, this is the prayer I prayed, because God had taken me to the very bottom by that point. I said, God, okay, no longer what I want, but whatever you want. See, when you follow God saying, God, whatever I want, you do, that's rocky soil. You're saying, as long as you let good things happen to me, I'll serve you. But when something bad happens, I'm out. That's rocky soil. Years ago, it's always hard to lose a child. Years ago, 5-year-old child passed away, and the dad left church. He left the Lord. Talking to the father, he said to me, if God is do this to me, I'll never leave again. I want to be careful not to judge him. He's losing a child, losing a five-year-old. That's brutal. But I have to say that he had a rocky heart. Greg Laurie, when he lost his 32-year-old son in an automobile accident, the very next Sunday came out to address the body that he pastored. And he said, I'm going down a road that I don't want to go down. Nevertheless, I'll go down this road. I didn't choose it, I would never choose it. But I'm going down this road. And he said to the body he pastored, but I want you to know, I still believe. That even he didn't have a rocky heart. Because when the sun beat down on him, when the difficulties came, the roots were there. And he remained. We face difficulties and hardships. And we should be able to say to God, whatever you want, God. Some people say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Other people say, I love God and I have a wonderful plan for his life. I want God to do these things in my life, and if you do other things, then I will not do it. A little over 4 years ago, when I lost my wife, I saw her. I lost her to stage 4 lung cancer, by the way. Smoked briefly as a teenager. But I watched her struggle with losing her life, which she had much to live for. And I watched her maintain her faith all the way to being diagnosed with lung cancer, 48, very young, all the way to death, keeping her eyes on Jesus and encouraging the people around her. There was no rocks in that heart. It was a revelation of whether I had a rocky heart. Because when you lose someone you're married to for 30 years, and you're 30 years and you're still pretty young, and then all of a sudden, you're like, ah. And it revealed that I was willing to stay. I was back in the pulpit in 2 weeks. Not that that was good. A friend of mine said, was it a good thing for you to be back in the pulpit in 2 weeks? He said it just like that too. Was it a good thing for you to be back in 2 weeks? Okay. He didn't say it that way. But it being really and truly concerned, is it a good thing for you? My answer was probably not. Because it was a bit brutal for me to teach. Sometimes I choked up. Sometimes I didn't make my point. Sometimes I would teach something and I would say, I don't even know if I believe that. I would teach about the love of God and I would say, if you love me, why'd you let her die? In my heart, it was difficult. But I said, but what was I going to do? Was I going to sit home? When I believe. And so through whatever difficulty you do, you say, God, whatever. God, like Job didn't have a stony heart because Job said, I'll serve you in the dark days and I'll serve you in the good times. If you have a rocky heart here today, if your love for God is conditional, if you're following a self-help Jesus, then you have a rocky heart. What do? If you identify yourself today as one that has a rocky heart, you pick the rocks out. You say to God today, Lord, it doesn't matter. Here's what Job said. If you kill me tomorrow, I'll live for you today. That's not a stony heart. And if you can make that commitment to him today, you're picking rocks out now. If you can say, God, it doesn't matter to me what I face and what I go through and what hardships I have, I'll serve you today in the midst of all of this, then you will get rid of the rocks in your heart. The indifferent person is the fallow ground, the hard heart. The rocky heart is the person that has shallow roots because it's conditional. The third, in verse 14 says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they had heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Just as the plants that grow on rocky soil are doomed because everybody's going to face difficulties, they're doomed, so are the ones that are on weedy ground. These are the seeds that fall over into the old pasture that's not being worked. The government is subsidizing them. And some seeds fall on that, and they grow among the weeds. It's going to be choked out. Why? Because the weeds compete for the moisture. The weeds compete for the nutrients in the ground. And the weeds provide shade, which is not good for the growth of the crop. When the crop is small, it needs sunlight to be able to grow. And so the weeds provide an environment that it can't really grow in. Jesus says the weeds are this, the cares and the worries of the world. That's for those of you guys that are living from paycheck to paycheck. You don't know where your money's going to come from to pay all your bills. It's a pretty tough place to be in. I've got to say the vast majority of us have been there or are there right now. There was a time in my life, in fact, for a good chunk of our, when we were first married for the good, 12 years or so, where we barely made it. We barely got by living paycheck to paycheck. Jesus says that you can be caught up in the cares of this world. Where am I going to get the money from? I got this bill to pay. How am I going to pay for my taxes? I hope that doesn't hit anybody at home now. But where am I going to get that? And you get caught up with that, you can't see God because these weeds are in the way. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 5 when Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father takes care of the birds. You'll see them worrying. You'll see some bird flying around. He says, your Father takes care of that bird. Your Father, if He's your Father, how much more will He take care of you? He said. Not one bird falls to the ground without God knowing. And so Jesus said, don't worry. You go, it's easier said than done. I'm the one that's got the bill collectors calling. I'm the one who's got bills that I got to pay. But Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom of God, this is a great promise, and His righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. Now that's this side of the room. You guys are the ones that are just barely making it. This side of the room, you guys are something else. See, Jesus said, and the pleasures and the deceitfulness of riches. There are some people that have gotten past the paycheck to paycheck, which is you guys, over to where you got money now. And so you can live for pleasure. You can live for the deceitfulness of riches. We think that riches are the answer. And when all of a sudden we have the riches and we can live for the vacation, we can live for the weekend, we can live for what the stuff. For the Tesla, you can always tell that that's what I want, right? Because I go there. For whatever it is, because we think that satisfies, we think that's our fulfillment, and we are no longer looking at the kingdom of God. We can't see God through those weeds. Those are just as much weeds as when you are so caught up in how to pay your bills. These are weeds as well that keep you from being effective for God, and it will choke out your faith. Here's the thing. We know that wealth is not the answer because the wealthiest among us are often, if not always, the most miserable among us. And we go, yeah, that's right. We all nod our head like this, but here's what we say to God, but I'd like to try. Why don't you go ahead and let me be wealthy, and I would like to try, and I could prove that that could be a good thing. Paul said to those who were rich, tell those who are rich not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but to be willing to share, to trust in God. So he didn't tell them to give their money away. He said, don't live for it. We're told that those who teach godliness as a means of financial gain to get away from them. I would say if you're sitting under any kind of teaching from somebody says that godliness is a way for you to gain things financially, get away from it because that's not the message. But then he went on to say, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment has nothing to do with what you have. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. He meant Oregon or Texas or Arizona. No, that's not the state he meant. He meant whether he had money or didn't have money, he learned to be content and trust in God. So the identification of the weedy heart is the person who lives for money and stuff, whether you have money or whether you don't. Because it's the love of money, and I flipped him there, so now you guys don't have it and you guys have it, okay? I just decided to make it equal here. You seek for the kingdom of God instead of living for those other things. Now, what do you do if today you identify yourself as having a weedy heart? Well, it's the same kind of thing. You got to get those weeds out of there. You've got to say to God, Lord, no longer am I going to live for the pleasure. I'm not going to live to try to make ends meet, but I'm going to look at you. What do you want from me? God has given us all things richly to enjoy. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it when God blesses you with finances. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that's not what you're living for. And God will take care of you if you're struggling. I'm back to this side again. And God will take care of you if you're struggling. But we put our eyes upon God and we live for Him. We don't allow the cares and the worries and the deceitfulness of riches and living for pleasure to distract us from what we're supposed to do, which is what really matters. Because on the day that we die and find ourselves in the presence of God, it doesn't matter if we lived month by month or if we had great resources. What matters is what we did for God. And so if you start to pull those weeds now, I'm not living for these things, God, I'm living for you. I will live a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. I will be a living sacrifice for you. My life will be consumed for the living God. Finally, the last kind of soil, that's the good soil. He says in verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those whom, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That is, that the hundredfold, God's word falls on a heart that's good. Doesn't have rocks, doesn't have weeds, it's been broken up. Somebody did the hard work of taking that ground like farmers did hundreds of years ago in the Midwest and stripped the rocks off the land and dug up the weeds, which no one likes to do, right? Anybody here enjoy pulling weeds? I had a lady last night who said yes, and then I asked her further. She said, well, no, I do it. I don't like it. I do it. And then I said, well, then how many of you have pulled weeds but you don't like it? And we all raised our hands, right? No one likes to do it. But you do the hard work for what you can gain from it, especially if you're a farmer, because the crop is your livelihood. So you carry the rocks out, you pull the weeds out, you do the work you're supposed to do in breaking up the ground because you want the crop in your life. And so we do that before God. We evaluate our heart and we say, Lord, help me not to be one who's conditional in my faith. Help me to not be one living for these other things, but living for you. Help me to be one who is receptive and receiving the word of God, that we might discover amazing 30, 60, and 100-fold that God wants to do in your life. God's word is so powerful and so rich that it will produce 100-fold in your life if you can get your heart in the right place. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we are so blessed to be able to look at your word and to hear these incredible truths that if we can get a hold of them, will not only make a difference for the remainder of 2017, but it will make a difference the rest of our lives as we live for you. I pray for those that are here that have evaluated and found their heart to be hard. Those who are here who evaluated and found their heart to be rocky, and those who here who evaluated and found their heart to be weedy. That they would do that work to clear it. That we would not be like the man who looked in the mirror, walked away, and forgot what we looked like. But we would do the work we need to do to take care of it. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So James tells us, and I prayed it there, not to be like the man who looks in a mirror and walks away and forget what you look like. In other words, you don't know that your hair is all messed up, or you don't know you got a big giant smudge on your face. You look in the mirror and you're like, whoa, I got a smudge on my face. But then you walk away and forget what you look like. When God reveals through the mirror of the Word of God the things that need to be corrected, let's correct it. Let's straighten out our hair. Let's wipe the smudges away. Let's break up the ground, remove the stones, and pull the weeds. So that we can have the incredible blessing that comes from the hundredfold in the Word of God.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706.
With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address, once again, is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.